From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today as we start out on another week of broadcasting, looking this week at Matthew's Gospel chapter 9, looking at Christ, the friend of sinners. Very important passage. I trust you'll stay with us as we look into it this week. Now, each day we like to include a hot topic or some commentary on an event that has come into the news. A few weeks ago, many people were greatly troubled with the news of the brutal murder of three evangelical Christians in Turkey. And so I've asked a veteran missionary to Turkey, Steve Ludwig, who has personal knowledge of the situation and indeed of some of the pastors who have been telling the world about this. I've asked Steve to come and give us his insight into that event and what has led up to it. So here is Steve Ludwig.
The religion of Islam once again shows its true face, this time in a country that is not often heard from in this connection, the land of Turkey. In April, three Christians were brutally murdered by Muslim fanatics in the city of Malatya, Turkey. Some Islamic fundamentalist university students, pretending to have an interest in the gospel, went to the Bible distribution office in that city, ostensibly for Bible study. There they seized the three workers, tortured them, and at last brutally murdered them as police arrived on the scene. Two of the men killed were Turks who had moved to that city for evangelistic purposes. The third was a German Christian who had been ministering in Turkey for a number of years. Although the country of Turkey is officially secular, about 15-20% of the population would like to see an Islamic government in control. Furthermore, though Turks are not very devout Muslims as a whole, there is a fanatical minority of people who belong to semi-secret brotherhoods. As is the case with true Muslims in other countries, the aim of these radicals is to see their nation and people living in submission to Islam. As you may know, the religion of Islam has five pillars, or central practices. These are the saying of the witness concerning Allah and Muhammad, the ritual prayer practiced five times daily, the giving of alms to the poor, a pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in life, and holy war against unbelievers. All true Muslims are to practice these pillars. Furthermore, Islam commands that those who leave the faith, as well as all who will not submit to it, are to be put to death. While this injunction against apostasy and defiance against Allah is stifled in our day by democratic institutions, the history of Islam is filled with examples of wholesale slaughter and bloodshed. The present war in Iraq gives ample testimony to this murderous religion, as Sunnis and Shiites butcher one another in the name of Allah. As the number of Muslims living in the West grows rapidly, one may well ask what effect this will have on our democracies. Rule by the people is not an Islamic concept. All men must submit to Islam. The word Islam itself means submission. Already in Europe, one can see the growing influence of Muslims in governmental and social affairs. With the virtual disappearance of Christianity from European society, the mounting influence of this dark religion is easy to understand. So-called moderate Muslims may claim to speak for their religious bloc, but it is the true Muslim with his holy war that we will have to deal with. His aim is either to dominate us or to destroy us. With all the talk about tolerance of Islam in America, we must be careful not to tolerate our own demise at the hand of true practicing Muslims. True Islam is at war. It does not preach love for us, but victory over us and our Christian heritage. Our only defense will be their conversion to Christ through the gospel.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're grateful to you for tuning our way. We're constantly encouraged by the letters and the emails and the telephone calls that we have received from our listeners. But you know, I'm sure there are many of you out there who have often said, you know, I'd really need to be in touch with them, let them know that I'm listening in and God has blessed His Word to my heart. Well, I hope that you'll take the opportunity to make up for that omission and get in touch today. Let me assure you that here at Let the Bible Speak, we never beg for your support. We never make an offer that's really just a cover for asking you for something. We all know that there are many, many programs and they say, we're sending you this, we'll give you that, and then they inundate you with begging letters. We will never do that, nor will we ever pass on your personal information to anyone else. So I trust you'll feel free to get in touch. Don't forget our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, which you may have simply by asking. Or don't forget our Plain Man's Guide to God's Way of Salvation and Assurance. We call it A New Beginning. And you may also have that simply by asking. So I trust you'll be in touch and that we'll be hearing from you today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may telephone us, toll free, 1-866-877-5827, 866-877-LTBS. Or, of course, you may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. LTBS@freepres.org. www.bibleandlife.org. So there are various ways for you to get in touch. I trust that you'll make use of one of them today and that we will be hearing from you. This morning in Matthew's Gospel to chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And we're going to commence reading at verse 9, reading through verse 17. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, lest the bottles break, the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing
to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. The call of Matthew, or Levi as he's also called in the Gospels, raised quite a few eyebrows. To the scribes and Pharisees, it was outrageous enough that Christ should call unlearned and ignorant fishermen to be his disciples, but that he should call a despised tax collector, a lackey of the hated Roman occupiers of the Holy Land, was utterly unthinkable. In all of Jewish society, no one was more hated, no one was more despised, no one was more counted a pariah than a Jew who sold himself to the Romans as a tax gatherer for his own mean ends. Levi had done just that. The Jews treated him accordingly. And yet the Lord Jesus, outrageous and unthinkable though it seemed to his critics, the Lord Jesus stopped by the receipt of custom, the tax table, where Matthew was obviously engaged in his nefarious work. And he called him from it. He said, "Follow me." And just as when Jesus said to the dead Lazarus, "Come forth," and he came forth, so when he said to the spiritually dead Matthew, "Come forth, follow me," he arose and followed him. And the resurrection in spiritual terms was just as real, just as dramatic, just as much an exercise of sovereign power as was the physical resurrection of Lazarus. So he arose and followed Christ. To make matters worse in the eyes of the scribes, the Lord Jesus proceeded to sit down at a meal, not just with Matthew and with his other disciples, but with a whole host of publicans and sinners, an assembly of the same kind of people as Matthew himself was. These scribes and Pharisees, seeing that, turned to Christ's disciples with the question, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Not only the scribes and Pharisees were taken aback, even the disciples of John were taken aback. Not so much that Christ was keeping company with the publicans and sinners, but that he was feasting with them. And they came and they asked the disciples, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast frequently? But your disciples are feasting, not fasting." So even John's disciples were a little put out with the Savior on this occasion. Now the Lord Jesus defended himself from these criticisms, first from the criticism of associating with sinners and publicans. And he used his feasting with them to define his mission on the earth in the clearest terms. Rather than apologizing or explaining or backing down in any way, the Lord Jesus simply said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Go and learn what the scriptures mean, what God means when he says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Then he stated, "I am not come," or "I have not come, to call righteous men. I have come to call sinners to repentance. That's the mission of the Son of God. Then the Lord Jesus defended the joy of his followers and the feasting that they enjoyed by answering John's disciples with two parables. And they're interesting little parables. The first is the parable of taking a piece of new or unshrunken cloth and putting it into a garment with a rent, with a tear in it. And he says, if you do that, the already shrunken cloth of the damaged garment will be made worse as the cloth that you insert begins to shrink and it pulls it apart. So you put an unshrunken piece of material into a rent garment. You don't make it better, you make it worse. You don't do that. You also don't take new wine and put it in old bottles. Because, or old wineskins. I know as a boy when I read that I couldn't understand it. I wondered how it would have any impact on the glass. Shows you how old I am. They didn't have plastic bottles in those days. But I couldn't understand what difference it would make to the glass. Or I suppose nowadays to plastic. But these were not bottles in that sense. They were wineskins. Many people who support the idea that all wine is alcoholic say, well, here you have Christ talking about putting new wine that's just fermenting, and as it ferments, it explodes the bottle. There's not enough give in the wineskin. That may well be true. Doesn't say anything about the practice of Christians going out and drinking booze, mind you, but we'll not get into that this morning. It may just be as true, of course, that the old wineskin had fermentation left in it. And when you added the new wine, that's what started the whole thing all over again and sprung it. So there's no argument for drinking here from this. What it is saying is that you take new wine, you put it into an old wineskin that doesn't have the elasticity that's necessary, it's going to burst. And we'll see what that means when we get to deal with it, the Lord willing, a little later in the message. So here Christ is answering the criticisms. When you look at this passage of Scripture, it sets forth the Lord Jesus as the friend of sinners. But it says something very particular about Christ, the friend of sinners. It says that he makes all things joyfully new for those whom he saves. And that's the force behind the two parables that he gave to John's disciples. With Matthew and his associates, you see the friend of sinners. At the feast and the joy, you see him making all things joyfully new for all whom he saves. Now that's a very simple theme, and I trust this morning it will be a brief theme. And I'm sure you're trusting and praying that as well. First of all, let me make the most obvious of all statements when you read this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ loves sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ loves sinners. This passage of Scripture establishes that fact beyond all doubt. He did not despise people because they were sinners. He did not ignore people because they were sinners. He did not reject people because they were sinners. Round about him he could see the scribes and Pharisees doing all those things. He could feel the hatred in the air as the Pharisees rejected Matthew and the very thought that Jesus Christ as a rabbi, never mind as the Son of God, could possibly associate with such a person. He could feel that hatred. It was everywhere around him. But Jesus Christ rather than rejecting and despising, hating and repudiating. A man like Matthew saw him. He looked on him. He saw him. He looked on him. He loved him. And he saved him.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.